Welcome to Time Audio. Enjoy. Chapter 10. Three Keys to Maximizing Your Potential. There are three important keys that, when properly applied, will empower you to maximize your potential as it relates to buying and selling houses. In this chapter, I examine several post-entry strategies that you should seriously consider long before you close on the property. I also analyze the advantages and disadvantages of doing the required repairs yourself versus hiring others to do it. Finally, I review several methods to increase the marketability of your property. The proper and systematic application of the three precepts outlined in this chapter will enable you to maximize your potential in the real estate arena. See Exhibit 10.1. Post-entry planning. Your post-entry strategy is the specific plan of action you will take immediately after the closing of your property. I want to emphasize the word immediately. Remember that time is of the essence, and every day that passes by without being fully used costs you money. This is why you must plan well in advance of the closing date for the work required to prepare the property for its eventual resale. Minimizing the turnaround time on each deal is crucial to helping you maximize your profits. One of the best ways to begin preparing is by scheduling the contractors who will be making the repairs, assuming you are not doing the work yourself, 2 to 3 weeks before the scheduled closing date if possible. Don't make the mistake of waiting until after you close to begin thinking about scheduling. You will lose valuable time by doing so. And remember, time is money because you are paying interest on the borrowed funds. The best time to tentatively begin the scheduling process is when the contractors first come out to the property to provide you with bids for the work to be performed. This data, as you recall, is used in your assessment of the viability of the project. After factoring in all the costs and expenses related to the project, as well as market comparables, then and only then are you able to accurately measure the expected return and profits that a particular project will generate. When you meet with the contractors, you can provide them at that time with a general idea of when you expect to close. Be sure to express to the contractors how important it is for them to be available when you need them. Explain to them that you prefer not to lose even a single day. Once you have established a firm closing date with the seller and the title company, you can then schedule a specific date and time for your contractor to make the repairs. The key is to establish your post-entry plan well in advance and to be prepared to execute it as soon after the closing as possible. Doing it yourself versus hiring it out. Is it better to do the work yourself and try to save money, or to hire as much of the work out as possible and try to save time? This is a question that many real estate investors struggle with, especially those who are just starting out. While there is no single right answer, it's important to understand the advantages and disadvantages of both methods. For those of you who may be more mechanically inclined, it is natural for you to feel and believe that you should do much of the work yourself in an effort to save money. Allow me to share a personal example with you of the differences between two individuals who have different skill sets. The first individual is my brother, Tim, who has very strong mechanical skills and can fix almost anything. In fact, one of my earliest memories of him fixing something occurred when I was about 3 years old. Tim would have been 5 at the time. I remember coming outside to play one day only to discover that he had taken all the wheels off my shiny red tricycle. Another time, he completely disassembled our swing set. While Tim was exceptionally good at taking things apart, he had unfortunately not yet learned how to put them back together, thereby rendering my tricycle and the swing set useless. Tim has come a long way since that time. Not only has he become an expert at taking things apart, but he is now extremely proficient at putting them back together. The second individual in this example is none other than yours truly. While I lack the natural mechanical skills that Tim has, I do have very good organizational and management skills. I recall that in my teenage years I was always very particular about keeping my bedroom as neat and orderly as possible. I was probably the only child in the family who made my bed without having to be asked to do so. My personality demanded structure and order. Later, my service in the U.S. Air Force reinforced these concepts, especially the training I received at boot camp, also known as basic training, at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. Our beds had to be made perfectly with blankets folded taut enough to literally bounce a quarter off of. Everything in our footlockers had to be placed in exact and precise order according to our training manuals. If it wasn't, believe me, you would hear about it from the drill sergeant. I never will forget one experience in my early days in basic training. I had only been there a few days and had just received my Air Force fatigues, which were all green. Since they were brand new, none of the insignia had been sewn on yet. With our heads freshly shaven and our new uniforms not yet adorned with insignia, we were referred to as pickles, because that is exactly what we looked like, a bunch of green dill pickles running around. Anyway, being brand new in the service, I was not fully aware of all the rules. My drill sergeant's name was Sergeant Carter, and believe it or not, he bore a strong resemblance in both manner and appearance to the Sergeant Carter in the old TV sitcom, Gomer Pyle. One afternoon while wearing my fatigues, I put a pencil in my shirt pocket. After all, that's what pockets are for, right? Wrong. Little did I know that I was out of uniform. That's right, that little pencil sticking out of my pocket was not supposed to be there, and boy, did Sergeant Carter let me know about it. He literally stood nose to nose with me and bellowed out something like, "Airman, what's wrong with you? Don't you know you're out of uniform? You better get the bleeping pencil out of your bleeping pocket and don't ever let me see it in there again. Do you understand me?"
"Yes, sir,"
came my immediate reply, and believe me, he never did see the pencil in my pocket again because I wasn't about to put it in there and run the risk of another verbal thrashing. In fact, to this very day, I sometimes have second thoughts about putting a pencil in my shirt pocket. With Tim's strong mechanical skills, he has quite naturally developed a mindset to fix or repair things himself, including his rental properties. After all, why pay somebody to come in and rehab a house when you can do it yourself and save money? I must say that I have to give him credit for taking on some tough jobs. Over the years, I've observed him take on bathroom and kitchen remodeling, replace badly worn flooring, do tiling, and perform painting, roofing, plumbing, and air conditioning work. I'm sure I've left some things out of that list, but you can name just about anything having to do with repairing a house and Tim has done it. On the other hand, I have done a few things such as painting and mowing the lawn, but I don't hesitate to call in the pros to take on the other work. First, I don't have the skills necessary to perform some of the more involved repairs. Second, I don't have the desire to do them. This is not to say that I couldn't learn how to make some of the more complex repairs, but I have no desire to. As one who is naturally well-organized and possesses good management skills, I much prefer to call in the proper tradesperson and pay him or her to do the work. I consider this to be a much better use of my time than trying to do the work myself. Because I naturally enjoy planning and preparing for upcoming events, I take the time, long before I close on a property, to ensure that my tradespeople, who are all more skilled than I am when it comes to fixing houses, are ready to perform the work as soon as I need them. For me, this is a much more efficient process than trying to do everything myself. I recall one time in particular when Tim had just purchased a single-family house that he was going to renovate and subsequently flip. About the same time, I had just purchased an apartment building that was also in need of some extensive rehab work. Tim, Mr. Do-It-Yourself, was committed to doing most of the rehab work by himself. Although he did have a little bit of help, Tim did most of the work on his own. I, on the other hand, Mr. Hire Everything Out, was committed to doing none of the work myself and hiring all of it out. Since Tim had a full-time job, he was able to work on the house only after work and on weekends. As I recall, he gave up nights and weekends for 3 or 4 months to make the necessary renovations and prepare the house for resale. Meanwhile, I had all of the bids in for the required repairs on my apartment building before I had even closed, and I was ready to go the day after closing. Within about 30 to 45 days, the tradespeople were completely finished with the repair work and my property was ready for resale. In addition, since the building was fully occupied by tenants, I began initiating increases in the rents, which were justified by the recently completed improvements. This example is meant to be an observation of fact only and is certainly not intended as a criticism of my brother, Tim, whom I love dearly. It is instead intended to illustrate the differences in the way the same tasks can be accomplished. Tim has his way of doing things, and I have my way of doing things. While Tim is saving money, I am saving time. To me, time is money, so I am really saving both time and money. To flip properties on a large scale, you cannot possibly do all of the required repairs yourself. You must decide if you are in the business of fixing houses or of buying and selling houses. If it is the latter, then you cannot afford to spend your time doing the repairs. The only exception to this may be when you are first getting started and are only doing one or two houses a year. At that level, you can probably justify taking the time to do some of the work on your own, but once you start ramping up your operation, you must begin scaling back your hands-on involvement and take care to make the best and most valuable use of your time, which is to organize and manage. Once you have your tradespeople in place and have fine-tuned your system, you have the ability to do 10, 20, 50, or even 100 houses per year.